Our pleasure to welcome for a couple of minutes Buck Showalter. Everybody knows his name and what he does with the Yes Network now, with the analyzing and what he has done, making the solid reputation he will carry for the rest of his life as a former manager. Buck, Steve Summers here on The Fan in New York City, of course, and you there, and thank you for a couple of minutes of your time.
Well, thank you, Steve. Good to be here. How are you doing? You know, I, for years, kind of early in the day for you, it must have been a day game, but, you know, long before cell phones, I got to confess to something. I'd leave the stadium about midnight after a night game, and
sure,
I'd be going across the bridge, and there would be Steve, like a comforting voice.
Yeah,
so,
well,
I grew up a lot listening to you.
You should have called in every now and then.
You know what, Steve? It crossed my mind a few times.
Well, I didn't. All right. Today, not a very exciting game. And what is it now? 16 innings outside of the Judge, a home run in the second inning 24 hours ago. They haven't scored. And Jordan Montgomery really pitched well enough today, I'm sure you would agree, for winning effort, but with no offense, you're not going to be winning too many games, even if you are giving up only three runs.
You know, Jordan's been as advertised. I kind of touted him a little before the season. I love his angle. He presents some things that you don't see every day. He's, you know, he was going to fit in there behind Cole and Kluber and a couple other guys. And I call it kind of the ambush position, and we know how left-handers play well at Yankee Stadium, especially the ballpark they're playing in now, and
right,
he hasn't been the issue, that's for sure. He's done his part, as today was a good example.
Yeah, and better was this Logan Gilbert, very, very new, by far his best outing in his major league career, and sure you want to give due credit to somebody who did retire, what is it, 18 in a row, he didn't walk a batter. He just had everything that he was throwing up there. He was having his way, Buck.
You know, Steve, that day game getaway day is, I don't want to say an ambush day, but it's a day where you really got to be on your toes and be ready to play. You know, this kid was a first-round pick by them. I believe the 14th guy taken in the nation in 2018 out of, I believe, Stetson. And he's had, as advertised, a lot of times when you haven't seen a guy, you know, there's some familiarity you have to go through for a while before you start making some adjustments. But he never really let that happen today. He was impressive.
Yeah, he really was. And again, the no walks. I mean, the Yankees couldn't, unless the Yankees were getting hit, they couldn't hit, but they were getting hit. We saw from Voit. And LeMahieu wasn't very happy in the ninth inning getting hit there. But you have to figure that no intention whatsoever, not with a 4-0 lead. You want to get three outs. But I'm sure DJ LeMahieu, who is fairly, you know, even keel, doesn't, not overly emotional, doesn't wear that emotion on his sleeve, fairly much a sedate guy. And yet he was upset getting hit. But I think it had more to do with frustration, Buck, than anything that was going to be intentional.
Yeah, you know, it's, first of all, Steve, when you get hit with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball, it hurts.
Yeah.
Okay, it hurts.
Yeah.
It just, you know, it's like taking a hammer and hitting whatever. But, you know, I think you're right on the head. I think at some point, I know Graveman, he's a fellow Mississippi State alumni who just won a College World Series, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's a very competitive guy, and he knows with the strong hitters that try to get the arms extended like the Yankee hitters do, he has to pitch inside. And the guys that are successful pitching inside don't really have a whole lot of concern if it hits you in the process. And that's how you continue to go in there. And the guys that can't pitch inside today's game, because so many of the hitters today are collision hitters. You know, they just collide with the ball, and when they do, it goes a long way.
Right.
They don't give two runs for a 500-foot home run. They give the same amount of runs for a 320-foot one that hits the foul pole. So, you know, I think a lot of pitchers today use that aggressiveness and that mindset that hitters today have against them.
And Sanchez came close to hitting a home run. It was only a few feet foul. He had that 11-pitch at bat before grounding out to short and was making Gilbert work, that's for sure, for that one at bat, and came close to hitting a home run. The Yankee offense, somewhat inconsistent, although the three wins in a row after the Mets and the second game and the first two here in Seattle, that had quieted the mob. That had quieted the Yankee fan and the Yankee organization. Maybe we're beginning some kind of a run before the All-Star break that we can carry over after the All-Star break with Houston and the tougher part of the schedule coming up. But, you know, here they fall back and didn't show up today offensively. And again, can a Yankee fan, Buck, can a Yankee fan believe, without seeing a great deal of evidence, that this team can get into serious October baseball?
Well, I think they can, Steve. You know, it's like you said, I think they're going into Houston now. I think when a pitcher is on top of his game and a hitter is on top of his game, the pitcher wins that battle. You see it every year in the playoffs. And, you know, the Yankees continue to kind of look for traction, you know, where they can really get something going consistently and everyone can know what to expect. And usually that comes from consistent starting pitching, but the offense has kind of come and gone. But, you know, I look at going into Houston now as a great opportunity for them before the break, because this is a good club playing good baseball and they're going to very talented to be able to go in there and win a series before the break. You know, they open up with the Red Sox afterwards and, you know, they're 8 back in the loss column going into tomorrow. But that's something that can be made up. There's a lot of competitive teams in the division. So they're going to be beating each other for somewhat with exception of possibly the Orioles. And, I choose to look at it, if I was there, as a great opportunity ahead of them in Houston and then a chance to really start against some people ahead of them in the second half. And as soon as their pitching finds some traction, you know, they're going to get a couple of guys back not too long after the break. And they just need, you know, whether it be a Britton, whether it be some of their starters that they've been waiting on, seems like most of the year. But that consistent offense just hasn't gotten its traction that you hoped it would and it needs to be.
Yeah, no, you're right. And certainly you're talking about Kluber, and if we see him, it will probably be maybe late August or September, if at all. And again, I mean, do you anticipate the Yankees, either with a position player, Buck, or with a pitcher, either a starter or somebody for the pen, to make any kind of a move by the end of July?
Well, I expect Brian to do that. I think he will. The problem is, you know, at what price? You know, do you rob from Peter to pay Paul? There's not a lot of, you know, they've got some young players they like, but do you give those guys up? I mean, it's there's not a lot of great matchups that you're dealing from surplus. You know, they're hoping to get Severino back, which would be a great shot in the arm for him. But there's just, you know, when I look at it on paper, and Brian in the front office knows a lot better than I, it just doesn't seem a lot of chips that bring, you know, that player back that's going to – so you constantly in the locker room try to look them within, you know, and say, hey, the answer's right here. You know, am I going to trade for a better pitcher than Severino? Am I going to get a better relief pitcher than Britton? You know, people that you're going to get back. And, you know, the continued better offense from Gary Sanchez would be better than what they could go get. And, you know, and how does it fit? Who does it take playing time away? I do think Brian's going to be looking for an outfielder, especially with Hicks out all year. That's been kind of a kick in the pants for him very quietly. And Gardner, you know, is Gardner. He's going to bring that intensity every day. But, you know, they would be a better club if they could move him around and play him like they planned to play him when the year started.
Yeah, picking up this kid from Arizona, LeCastro, I mean, he's good with the speed. He's not much of a hitter, although he's had a couple of hits since becoming a Yankee 10 seconds ago. But for the most part, I mean, pinch runner, certainly can steal a base and one of the fastest guys in the game, but not much of a hitter. And, of course, losing Aaron Hicks early in the year, I mean, for the year, I mean, that certainly hurts because they don't really have a center fielder, and they're not very left-handed, and we've been through all of this since almost day one. What are the Yankees going to do with Chapman?
Well, you know, before I go to Chapman, you know, I think that the other thing, they were expecting people like Gleyber and Frazier to graduate a little mm-hmm. bit more, so to speak, mm-hmm. and to go to that next level. I think Frazier's been, you know, no, I don't want to say disappointment, but so far he hasn't lived up to what they expected from him. You know, the good thing about Chapman's situation is, you know, he's healthy, and they have other options. But when you kind of break up that chain, and when the chain gets longer, that's why starting pitching is so important. If your chain in your bullpen has to be so long and one piece of that chain breaks down, you have inconsistencies. And there wasn't a better relief pitcher in baseball than Chapman for the first 2 months.
Right.
And he's hit a little bump here. It's the best I've ever seen him throw early on. Mm-hmm. And I think he'll get back on the horse. And as things kind of settle in, because baseball has no Cinderellas. You play too many games. You always seek your level. And if you're good enough, you'll be there. And if you're not, you'll be exposed.
You know, the sticky stuff, I mean, it's been around for a long, long time. And of course, this year, I mean, Major League Baseball not looking the other way. And, of course, with revolutions per minute, with Cole and with Chapman and even Domingo Herman, you know, the crackdown with Major League Baseball. What are your thoughts about what Major League Baseball is doing, checking pitchers right out there in front of the crowd? And do you think, I think I heard you on the YES Network talking about this and thinking maybe, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, that a lot of this is much to do about nothing.
Well, I don't know about that, Steve. I do know that nobody's got, you know, the pitchers don't have anybody to blame and the people that are coaching them but themselves,
mm-hmm.
because they took what was being used to grip the baseball better. Listen, April with mud on the ball and dry rosin, it was slick. Okay, it's hard. You know, that's another issue altogether. How they're going to fix that at the end of the season. I really believe that. I think you'll see a universal pitcher's rag that everybody can agree on out there. But really, they've got to kind of look in the mirror, because they started using the sticky stuff to chase the velocity and chase the spin rate. And I think that's what's happened a lot in our game. People, instead of teaching the art of pitching, were teaching the art of how to get more spin and more rotations on your breaking ball through means other than, you know, God-given skills. And also things that are being taught about how to pitch in capital letters. And I think that's what's, you know, got to the point where baseball, you know, I've been on the competition committee. I've heard all these conversations behind the scenes. It just got to the point where a lot of the hitting issues were driven from that. We've seen the offense pick up quite a bit. And, you know, guys who aren't guilty don't have a problem with it.
Well,
I would change the rules that if a guy gives up four runs, you shouldn't check him. If I was the manager, I'd go, please don't check him. Make sure he stays in the game.
Yeah.
Well, for the other team.
Yeah. Well, no, I understand. And the thing is that of course, with Major League Baseball and doing this business, I mean, my take is a little bit cynical, because mm-hmm. I think pitchers and hitters, too, will find ways to get a competitive advantage. And that's
yep.
really what it's all about. I mean, there
yep.
are players and teams, as you know all too well, that will do anything to win games. And that's what it's all about on the major league level. So I think cheating, you know, bending the rules, if not breaking the rules, will continue for as long as we have baseball, Buck.
I agree. When you've got that apple out there dangling that everybody wants a piece of, a lot of people are willing to do whatever it takes. You know, I said one night that, you know, we talk about this with the pitchers, but could you imagine if we asked the hitters tonight or tomorrow to play the game without batting gloves or pine tar?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are using that to grip their instrument of that they're using in the game, their bat. And a pitcher is not allowed to do that to grip the baseball, which is the instrument he has to use. you know, there's two rosins. There's a dry rosin, there's a rock rosin. The rock rosin, you know, is a lot tackier. Mm-hmm. It's just something that we got to get our arms around and make sure that everybody's playing on the same level field. And I think you'll end up somewhere in between of what's going on now and what's going on in the past.
Okay. And before I let you go, and I can't thank you enough, seriously, no, for giving us a couple minutes of your time, but I'm going to ask you a tough question. It's hypothetical. I could almost predict how you might answer, but I have to ask, and so I will. If Aaron Boone was to be replaced at the end of the season, would you be interested in taking the job if they offered it to you?
Well, first of all, Steve, I've always had a little pet peeve if people are talking about situations where someone currently has those jobs, and Aaron's not their problem. And Aaron is, I've known him for a long time. He comes with great pedigree. I think he does a good job, and Aaron knows I think that. And I hope that nobody loses their job. I don't. Sometimes, you know, the what do you call it? The life expectancy of coaches and managers in today's sports world is shorter. And you know, the teams that do real well, the general manager and the manager are connected at the hip, and they're on the same page. And you know, that's been the case. Yankees have been very competitive. A lot of people would have loved to have had their track record, but at the same time, we know what the job description for the Yankees is every year, to be the last team standing. Yeah. And with that, it comes an accountability that Aaron and everybody that does it for a living knows. And I hope that job doesn't come available, and I hope the Yankees straighten it out and make a run here, and we're talking about something different the next time we talk.
Well said. Okay. And no surprise at all to hear something like that from you. It's been such a pleasure. You have graced the program, and we can't thank you enough for that. Please stay dry, and I look forward to the next time we might be able to have a little bit of a schmooze. Thank you so much, Buck.
Thank you, Stephen. Thanks for all those late-night companionship driving home from the stadium through the years.
Well, thank you for being there, too. And thanks, Buck. All right, Buck Showalter.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now, and take care.